Him today.
Yes.
I came to experience Him today.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And I've heard so many times, so many confirmations of what the message is today. You see, even as we were driving in here today and I heard that song, I'm not good enough. Mm-hmm. But He still loved me.
Yes. Thank you. Love. Thank you.
Hallelujah. I was reading this morning, and I was reading a scripture that says that even through all my sins, God knew me by name and was able to call upon me. Hallelujah. You know, over the last few weeks, I've been sharing with you the trouble that I've been having with one of our church members. And when I direct, here's the problem. You see, I direct him to go right, and he goes left. I tell him to stop and think about what he's doing, and he goes full speed ahead. I tell him to be quiet and listen. And needless to say, his mouth just goes 90 miles an hour. You see, if I tell him that his plate is too full and he needs to slow down just a little bit, he jumps ahead and adds more to his busyness. The thing is, for years, he's made me want to just throw up my hands and quit. But you know, here's the real problem. I can't quit because the person I'm talking about is me. Now, if it's okay with you, I'm just going to preach about myself today.
Okay.
I'm just going to preach to me today.
Okay.
I know the rest of you don't have these problems. I got it. I'll admit it. I got a problem. And usually it's the person that's right inside me. You know, and if you think about it, it's so depressing. What am I going to do with this person? God says, I got to love him. Well, if you think about it, I better love him. But you know what? As I was reading God's word, I found that I wasn't the only one dealing with this type of member. You see, Paul writes in Romans 7:14 through 20, and I'm just going to read it for you. It says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what am I doing? I do not understand. For what I will to do that I do not practice. What I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. You see, I'm not the only one going through this tumultuous relationship. You see, let me try to explain to you what Paul is saying. You see, theologians write that the law comes from God in contrast. Paul says his problem and that of all believers is that he is carnal, meaning that he is like a slave sold over to sin, even though Paul was a Christian dedicated to serving God, he continued to fall short of God's moral standards. I just raised my own hand. You see, being fleshly sold over to sin involves a conflict that mystifies Paul and other believers. Paul feels he does not understand himself. He finds himself defeated, not doing what he wants to do, and doing what he hates to do. The conflict indicates that there is a battle between two identities in the believer. You see, the first one, there is something that acknowledges the law. It's good. And the second, there is something called sin, which produces evil. So you see, or should I say, we're not alone in dealing with self. We are in good company. There's a song that says, and we've been singing it all day long, I just ain't good enough. But you know, the truth of the matter is, even in my shortcomings, he still loves me. Anyway, we've been walking through the principles of victory, a victory that God has guaranteed us. If just we persevere. And you know that the road less traveled is usually not a road easily traveled. If you've ever been on an old country road where they haven't paved yet, it's a lot bumpy. You see, the roads that are traveled a lot, they take well good care of. So if you're going to travel on a road less traveled, expect a few bumps. Expect the shock absorbers on your car to be tested. Hopefully you've got good springs on your car. It's the same as with life. It's not an easy road. Sometimes we go down a road that we don't want to go down. Sometimes we go down a road that we soon regret that we went down. But we went down that road out of our disobedience to God. See, God knows what's best for us. It's in our faith in the Father in heaven that we make it through. And the good thing is he shows us how. He doesn't keep any secrets. He shows us the way. I've said over the past few weeks we've been learning about how to be victorious using the principles of victory as spelled out in God's word. Our message today is titled, The Principles of Victory, Part 3. Our scripture is taken from the book of Exodus, the 17th chapter, verse 8. One verse. As we continue walking through the year, as we learn to be united, as we stand together. Verse 7:18 says this. It says, Now Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephaim. Now see, here's the thing. You must first respect a grievous problem. Do you believe there's a grievous problem? I only saw one hand go up, so there must only be one grievous problem. Hallelujah. You see, it really is one. And what is this problem? In our textbook, in Exodus chapter 17 and verse 8, as we read earlier, it says, Amalek came and fought with Israel. So I got to ask you a question. Hallelujah. That's okay. So the question is, who is Amalek? Or should I say, what was Amalek? And then I tell you, well, you know what? That's a great question. Amalek was a king. But he was also the grandson of Esau. Anybody here know who Esau was? Got a couple Bible scholars in here. Well, Esau, you may remember, was the man who sold his birthright for a bowl of stew. Now, see, I don't have time to get into it, but Esau was a profane man. Esau sold his spiritual things for a bowl of stew. Seems like he was more interested in the present than in the future. Does that sound familiar?
Yes.
The material rather than the eternal. Mm-hmm. The things of the flesh, not the things of the spirit. Mm-hmm. And therefore, the Bible calls Esau in Hebrews 12 and 16 a profound person who, for one morsel of meat, sold his birthright. Mm-hmm. You see, I got to go back to the theologians. If you study, you know the theologians are those people who think that they have understanding of what God's word means. You see, they write that believers pursue peace and practical righteousness. But we should watch out for three dangers. The first is falling short of God's grace. That is refusing Christ's gracious offer of salvation and his provision for our needs. The second is allowing the root of bitterness to grow in their assembly. They're talking about the assembly of God. Perhaps allowing idolatry worship to remain in the church. Oh, yeah, there's some folks in, I'm not saying in here, but there's some folks in some churches that worship a whole lot of idols. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You see, first they worship that green stuff.
Ooh.
And then they worship that building.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then they worship the pastor.
Ooh.
But they forget who they should be worshiping. You see, they forget that they are a child of the Most High.
Most High. Say that.
There is none above him. There is none like him.
Yes.
He is the Alpha and the Omega. Mm-hmm. He is the beginning and the end.
Yes, sir.
He was before and will be after.
Yes, yes.
Hallelujah. The third thing is we allow people to become sexually immoral or irreligious.
Mm-hmm.
You see, Esau illustrates those who were irreligious. You see, under the law, the oldest son would receive a double portion of inheritance.
Yes, 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 under the law.
And he was the oldest. But Esau lost his inheritance, which included God's gracious promises, by despising it and valuing the pleasure of food over what God is offering him. The pleasures of food. A bowl of stew. The Bible teaches us in Malachi that God has a perpetual warfare going on with Esau. Listen to this scripture. From Malachi 1, verses 1 through 4, it says, "The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, says the Lord. Yet you say, in what way have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, says the Lord? Yet Jacob I have loved. But Esau I have hated and laid waste to his mountains and his heritage for the jackals of the wilderness. Even though Edom has said, we have been impoverished, but we will return and build the desolate places. Thus says the Lord of hosts, they may build, but I will throw down. They shall be called the territory of wickedness, and the people against whom the Lord will have indignation forever. Hallelujah. See, now let me break this down for you just a little bit. You see, what God is talking about, God is not talking about little baby Esau when he says, I hate Esau. He's talking about a whole nation. He's talking about the Edomites. He's not just talking about people of the flesh and people in physical bodies. He's talking about a principle. And that principle is the flesh. Anybody here got flesh? Now, it gets a little complicated here, so pay attention. Amalek is a grandson of Esau. He is a part of the category of person that God says, I have perpetual war with. What does Amalek represent? Amalek represents what all of us have in us, and it's the flesh. Can you say the word flesh?
Flesh.
Say it again, flesh.
Flesh.
Can you say it again, my flesh? That's your enemy.
Yes, yes it is.
Remember I said I had a church member that I had a lot of difficulty with? Well, my friend, there's an Amalek in you. He is the grandson of Esau. And he has, and you have this. It's to be carnally minded.
Yes.
That word carnally means fleshy minded.
Mm-hmm.
It's death. But to the spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal minded is an enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be.
Mm-hmm.
Romans 8, 6 and 7.
Mm-hmm.
You see, if we also go and look at Galatians 5 and 17, it says, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And those are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish.
Mm-hmm.
That you don't do the things that you wish. Hallelujah.
Mm.
You know, I always share with you guys, I have a love for chocolate cake. But you know, chocolate cake is not good for me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I have a choice. I can do what's right. Just say, well, or I can eat the chocolate cake. I don't want to eat the chocolate cake, but it's there. And my mother always said, I can reason this out real good. My mother said, you should not waste food, right? As she used to say, there's children over there in Africa that would love to have that piece of cake.
Yeah.
So I can't waste cake. But that cake is not good for me.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Especially the icing.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't eat chocolate cake without icing.
No.
Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. You see, there is that principle that will come against you again and again. It's called the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
You say, well, I'm over here in Egypt. I'm going to give my heart to Jesus today. I'm going to be saved because I believe in Jesus. And you give your heart to Jesus, And as soon as you drink of that water, as soon as that rock is smitten for you, as soon as that water comes to refresh you, then the Bible says in Exodus 17 and 8, then came Amalek. You see, immediately when you came out of Egypt, the flesh comes also. And when the flesh comes, Amalek comes. And Amalek says this to you. He says, you're not going any further. You're not going to get into Canaan. You see, then came Amalek. And if you want to know, you got to go back to the past two sermons to get more information on this. Hallelujah. Praise God. You see, Deuteronomy says in chapter 25, verses 17 and 18, it says, remember what Amalek did to you on the way as you were coming out of Egypt? Hallelujah. It says, how he met you on the way and attacked your rear ranks, all the stragglers at your rear. And when you were tired and weary, he didn't fear God. You see, I want to tell you something. You see, God will test us in our strongest point, but the flesh will attack us in our weakest point. Just to keep you from entering Canaan. You see, Jesus is the rock of ages. He was smitten for us. And because Jesus was smitten for us, out of his side came forth water. That water represents the Holy Spirit, which is the water of life. You see, when Jesus hung in agony and blood upon the cross and he died, he let out of his side something that came became water. There was no blood that came out of him. It was water. Living water. Oh, I got a Bible scholar in here today. You see, the Holy Spirit that is in me and you right now is that living water. Thank God for the blessing, the precious Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I just want to praise the Lord today for the living water. The water that refreshes us, the water that keeps us, the water that restores us, that refreshes us. If you're walking through the desert, and we've all been in that wilderness, it is the water that saves us. It's the water we drink when we're thirsty. It's the water that feeds our spirit. Hallelujah. See, I don't know what you came to do today, but I came to praise the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise the Lord. He is so wonderful. The principles of victory. Hallelujah.